Well, the title for this morning's message is Unlikely Heroes. And when I think of heroes, I think of, man, just probably been 30 years or so of just all kinds of Supermans and Spidermans and all kinds of awesome, heroic people. But also, you know, we've seen movies, we've read books where we see just a regular person all of a sudden become the hero of the story, right? Whether they're saving the island from something or pirates, or whether they're you know, saving the world, or one of my personal favorites, whether they're out there saving a little blanket. If you don't know what I mean, there's a little movie called The Brave Little Toaster. It's one of my favorite movies, and you have to see it if you haven't seen it. But it's an awesome movie. A little toaster, man. You would never think that a toaster would do anything amazing, but there he goes, man. He goes out there and he saves his little buddy who was lost, taken away by a strong wind. All these movies, books, and stories that we've kind of grown up admiring and seeing and being moved by, all of them do the same thing. They all just kind of move us. They provoke in us. They stir us up to believe or to want to do something great. We all think like, oh man, I want to fly. I wish I was super strong. I wish I was fast. I wish I could do that, or I could do something meaningful. And in the middle of kind of being drawn in by the thought that an ordinary person can go above and beyond the situation in front of them, all of a sudden, like, reality hits. Boom. And we realize, like, ah, I'm just normal Norm. Nothing amazing is going to happen with me. I still have to go pay bills. I still have to take kids to school. I still have this bad hip. I still have, all of a sudden, reality comes in, until the next time we watch a hero movie, and then we're like, yes, I want to fly again. Here's the cool thing. I believe that God wants to use normal people like you to be the hero of the situation, to be the hero in a moment, to step into a situation and help or shine in some way or another, that you would go above and beyond your own personal tendency. All of us, our own personal tendency of just being me, myself, and I. And like someone drops something, like, ah, oh, it's so far. I would pick it up for you, but whew, that's really far down there. That's our natural tendency. But for you to, someone falls or someone drops something, and for you, just a simple act of you just being able to go down there, pick that up for them, now you get to shine. You get to be the hero of that moment and represent God in your life, in the workplace, or in your home, or even just at the grocery store as you're waiting around. God wants to move in and through your life. And a lot of times, the reason why we don't see God doing anything amazing in our lives isn't because he's not there. Oftentimes, it's because we're not yielded to that. Because we start to believe all of these lies that we've been kind of telling ourselves. No, I'm too young, no, I'm too old, I'm too small, I'm too uneducated, I'm too this and too that. And hopefully today, as we look through this lesson, God will speak to you in one way. In 2 Chronicles, if you want to write this down for yourself, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, God, again, using or doing the extraordinary through ordinary people. This is where it all begins. 2 Chronicles 16, 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." This is where it all begins. God right now is actually right here in this place. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is, right? So he's here right now. And he's looking at this moment, not only at the whole world, for people who are yielded that he can do great things through, but I believe he's looking at every single one of us right now, wanting to do something great in and through you, something that would impact the kingdom through you. Now, some of you are thinking again, not me, I'm just normal Norm. I got bills to pay. Not me, my health isn't the best. Not me, I'm too young. Not me, I'm too old. Just hold on to that thought. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. And I want us to look at the criteria or the qualifications of the kind of people that God is interested in using. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27, "But God has chosen." These are the kind of people that God chooses. "The foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are not, or the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are." Verse 29, "Why would God choose people like this?" Right here. "That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." This is the criteria for God's heroes. And we're going to see some people in the Bible that God used. I hope you guys would leave today understanding that God wants to do something still in your life. I don't know if you realize this, but once upon a time, God put himself in human flesh. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, he put himself in a mortal body to live among his creation, among humans. To be rejected by them, to be despised, the Bible says, to be beaten, to be abused, to be crucified, and then he would raise again from the dead to give us life. He did all of that so that you could sit in church and just warm up a chair for the next person. Do you think that, right? Sounds kind of ridiculous. I believe he went through all that. He did all of that. The Bible tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why? So that you could have an impact in this world. So that you could be an ambassador for his kingdom. So that you could be basically a representative, or you could be Jesus at work. You could be in your home. You could represent the Lord as an ambassador of his kingdom. Not just coming together, hanging out, eating donuts, which are awesome, but to have an impact. I'm just normal Norm. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too tall, too short. Those are all excuses, and those are all lies. Whatever impediment you think you have, God wants to use you right now, exactly where you are and exactly how you are. Why would he use someone like you? Why would he use someone like me? So that he gets the glory. So that when people see you do something amazing, they're like, wow, if God can use him, then surely he can use me. Right, Jeff? If even him... Yeah. God can even use her. Yep. And you. Oh, well, no, he's probably done using me. No, no, no. I think you're wrong. I think he's right. I think he still wants to work and move. Well, let's look at this criteria, because God uses, he says here, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. When I think of foolish things, I think of little David. You know the old saying, like, oh, you're too young and dumb to know better. That was David. He shows up to the battle scene there as they were facing the Philistines, and the big giant was there blaspheming God. David shows up bringing lunch for his brothers, sees this, hears this, and his first reaction is, why hasn't anyone taken him out? Well, he's big. So? Well, he's scary. God is bigger. Well, they took him to King Saul so that someone could reason with him. And Saul decides to educate this little guy. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where it says this in verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So here's Saul saying, look, little guy, let's just reality check real quick. You can't. So go home with your Tupperware and tell your parents that your kid, your brothers are fine. But what ended up happening is the student became the teacher real quick, right? Because David said, I can do it. God's going to do it through me. And he did. I love it. He goes out there. He takes down the giant. But Paul's mind, you're too immature to volunteer. Sometimes we have that thought, like, oh, well, I'm too young in the Lord to help at church. Oh, well, I'm too young to volunteer for this at church. Or, oh, I'm too young to volunteer at the community center. Oh, well, I'm too old to help at church. And like, oh, well, I'm just too normal. Yeah, well, excellent. You fit right in, man. You're in good company. If you think you're too foolish, you can join David. God also uses, God has chosen, he says here, the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. When I think of God using the weak things, I think of Moses. God comes to Moses and says, Moses, you are going to be my spokesman. And you're going to talk to the Pharaoh on my behalf. And Moses' response, I don't speak none too good. You somebody else. And God says, exactly. Moses had some kind of speech impediment, because in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, he tells God, you know, because he has to inform God, because God doesn't know. So he's like, oh no, okay, Lord, well, let me just tell you. Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 4, verse 10, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Something hindered him from feeling like, you need a representative? I'm your man. God says, you're going to go speak for me. And he's like, God says, yeah. I said, well, Lord, let me just tell you, Lord, I can't. Exactly. Because what happens when you come to the end of yourself is that God comes in. And what does he do? What did we read? He shows himself strong on your behalf. Or he shows himself strong through you. So it is a mystery that God would ever use someone like you, or that God would ever use someone like me to do anything worthwhile. But what does that do? It provokes in the people around us in awe. Like, the weaker you are, the weirder you are, the greater the awe. Like, what? That guy? That person? They should be done doing great things. They shouldn't have the strength anymore to do this and that. And how are they in there doing? Because God is showing himself strong. God is proving to you and to the people around you that he's not done with you. If God was done with you, you'd be in heaven right now. Mission accomplished. You would hear from him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom." Have you heard that yet? Not yet. You're still here. This is not heaven. Trust me. You're still here. Why? You're not just here to warm up the chair for the next person. Why are you still here? Why are you here? God wants to use you in this place, in this time, right now. God uses the weak things of the world. If you consider yourself weak, then you're a prime candidate for God to use. When I think of the weak things of the world, I also think of Gideon. God comes to Gideon and says, "You mighty man of valor." And I picture Gideon going, "Ah!" Like there's some big strong man behind me. And God says, "No, no, man, there's no one behind you. You, mighty man of valor." Like, "Me?" God says, "Yeah. Me? Mighty man?" Obviously, God is ignorant and uninformed, so Gideon also chooses to educate the Lord on what's going on. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15, "So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord.'" I was like, "Oh, Lordy, let me just tell you what's going on here, Lord. 'How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" So he tells God, "I'm not going to save Israel from anything. I'm the smallest guy in the smallest tribe of Israel. Surely, mighty man, there must have been someone who walked by behind me that was awesome and heroic." And God says, "No, you're the guy." Do you feel inadequate? Do you have those days when you look in the mirror and you're just like, "Yep, that's real. That's me now." Do you have those days, man, where it's just hard to get up? It's just hard to get out. Whether it's a physical ailment or whether it's a mental, sometimes we get so bogged down by our thoughts. They haunt us and they slow us down and we begin to think, like, "Oh, if I can just get out of the door today, it's going to be a win." God wants to use you for great things right now. Still. Yeah, I remember when he used to use me for stuff. Oh, okay. Well, don't forget, because he still wants to. Have you considered as of late? What needs to happen at church? How can I help? What needs to happen in my community? How can I help? What needs to happen with my family? How can I help? Or have you just allowed those thoughts to go away by, like I think of Eeyore, "Woe is me. Lost my tail. Can't do anything." Has that become you? Because I believe I'm here today to remind you that you are still like a top recruit that God wants to use for his kingdom. He hasn't put you aside. He wants to show himself strong in and through you. Well, God uses the foolish things. God uses the weak things. And then we see here that God uses the base. In verse 28, he says, "And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen." The word "based" means dishonorable or improper. God uses people who have come from a dishonorable background. I don't know what your pedigree is. I don't know what your family lineage is. I can tell you for me, I'm not the grandson of an evangelist or preacher or the son of a Christian of any kind. Just a normal guy, just normal norm. But I want you to understand, and I think you already know this, some of us have some dark history in our families. And we think, well, you know, God uses preacher's kids to make more preacher's kids, and on and on it goes. God uses Christians to teach Christians. I was raised by heathens. Well, if you come tonight, we're going through the life of Abraham. Abraham was raised by heathens. By Gentiles. They didn't believe in the true and living God. God will use you regardless of your background. When I think of God using the base things, I think of a guy named Jephthah. Jephthah is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith as one of the awesome heroes of the faith. But in Judges chapter 1 or 11 verse 1, we see Jephthah's story. And in verse 1, kind of really, it just sums it up. It says, now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but, in my notes, I have one big, giant, bold, but. He was the son of a harlot. God, almighty God, holy and pure, surely he would never use such a person. Like, don't you know what his mom did? Don't you know what kind of person his dad was? Ew. Maybe every single one of you here was raised in beautiful Christian homes where everybody had Bible names. Nothing but Johns and Marys and Marthas and Lukes in your family. But if you didn't have that, I want you to know that, yeah, God wants to, God can, and he will use you if you're yielded, if you surrendered. If you believe him to do great things, he will do great things in and through you. If you believe him to do nothing in your life, he will not disappoint. He'll do nothing also. It really is so contingent on where we stand and how we see him. This guy, Jephthah, the Ammonites came to battle against Israel. He was rejected in society, obviously. The Israelites came to Jephthah and said, hey, will you lead us into battle? Jephthah could have said, no, you guys kicked me out. You guys rejected me. You turned your backs on me. I don't have the right or the privilege to pick my parents. But you guys kicked me out. But you know what? Jephthah doesn't do that. He says, yeah, let's go. He leads them into battle, not only, because you're thinking, well, obviously he's got, like, you know, family issues. He's angry and violent. No, he wasn't just a warrior. He came back and he judged Israel for 6 years after that. He was the leader of the nation. So? What did you know about this, about his parents? So? Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been thinking like, well, you know, you don't know me. You don't know my parents. You don't know what's going on. What I know is that God loves to use people like you and me to do amazing things, normal norms, to do amazing things. You have to believe it. You have to know it. Well, God uses the foolish things. God chooses the weak things, the base things, the despised things. He also uses the things which are not. What is that? These are the unassuming. This is your normal norm. He's just the guy that's there. Nothing amazing, kind of awkward, nothing to draw us in. Some people have a natural chemistry, or they're just magnetic. Other people are they're just not, right? So you forget they're there. It's the kid that gets left behind on a family vacation. Everyone stops for gas. Everyone gets back in the car. You're like 3 miles away. You're like, oh, where's Sammy? You know, like, oh my gosh, we got to go back. It happens. I get it. It hurts. But it happens. When I think of just regular people, I think of this guy, Ehud. Ehud, his story's in Judges 3. Ehud was basically, he was a UPS guy. He was a delivery guy. That's who he was. He was the office clerk. He was the office mail guy. His job was to bring tax tribute to King Eglon. Not too glorious, right? Not too amazing. A good buddy of mine back in the day worked for UPS. Doesn't get any more bland of a uniform in the entire world. Brown. And you're camouflaged with the truck. You just disappear. I'm like, dude, you matched your truck. How did they even do that? He told me. He said they had this color specially made for UPS. I'm like, lucky you? It's flattering. Brown. It's good. But this is who Ehud was. In Judges 3, verse 15, it says, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. Ehud, a left-handed man. Why would the Bible even take the time to note something like that? This is the only guy that really, there's a couple of other, there's an entire tribe that are full of lefties, excellent archers, we know about them. But really here, it's kind of the only one guy why does that matter? Because God uses him just the way he is. If you're a lefty now, any lefties in the house? Where are you? We got one lefty. Oh, two lefties, yeah. If you know, now you're a lefty, things aren't so bad. You can go buy a mitt, you can get a guitar that's a lefty. You know, life is pretty good. If you were a lefty like 20 years, 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, life was rough, man. There wasn't a left-handed mitt for baseball, or there wasn't a left-handed guitar for you to play on. You just had to adapt because, you know, it was like, well, you're broken. You're like, no, I'm not. It was a stigma. And here, for this guy, Ehud is from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin literally means son of my right hand. I know, right? We're just like, ah. Oh. And then here's the lefty, like, yeah! It's awkward. Life's kind of rough. But God, this story about Ehud is a beautiful thing because God uses him exactly how he is with what he can bring to the table, even if he is lefty. Even if you are in a wheelchair. Even if you have back problems. Even if you have to wear glasses on top of glasses. Yeah, I know, we won't talk about that, but it's a thing. Just like that. However you are and however you may come, God can use you. Well, I'll read a couple of verses from Judges 3. If you want to write these down, they kind of give us a synopsis of how the story ends with Ehud here. But Ehud, Judges 3 and verse 16, it says, now Ehud made for himself a dagger, and it was a double-edged and a cubit in length. And he fastened it under his clothes, again, Bible making a reference to something important, on his right thigh. So here is a normal warrior or an assassin, someone who would be a threat to the king. Statistically, he'd be a righty with the sword strapped to his left thigh. So that when you, I'm not a swordsman or anything, so don't be too amazed, but I do know that you would pull it out either to block, right, or pull it out to block and then strike. You don't pull it from here like, hold on. You would pull it ready to block, always immediately ready to defend yourself. Well, he makes for himself a dagger. A dagger is a cubit in length, and it's double-edged. The cubit, the king's cubit would be the proper term. Depending on the king, the cubit is from the elbow to your fingertips. So if you have a short king, it's like a slightly shorter cubit. If you have a tall king, probably got a long arm. So the cubit is somewhere in this range, and he straps this. So my point is it's not a dagger like this. It's something like this that he makes, and he puts it on his right thigh. Verse 20 and 22 says, so Ehud came to him. He already brings a tribute to the king, Eglon. Now, Eglon was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So the king arose from his seat, verse 21. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and he thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt, or the handle of the dagger, went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. This is an awesome junior high Bible study, by the way. Junior highs are like, what? Yeah! Guts! You guys are a little bit more, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but bear with me here for a little bit. Eglon, King Eglon was a big man. You stab me with a cubit long dagger and you're going to be able to pull it out easy. Like, in and out, no problem. Ehud stabs Eglon. Eglon gets up to receive his message from the Lord, and he pulls out his dagger. I'm a left-handed, right? So I'm lefty right now. He pulls it out of this side, and he sticks it in, and he loses it. He's a big man. Literally, he pulls his arm out like, no sword, no watch, no ring. Like, what in the world? This guy's huge. And his entrails come out. Besides being a gross, cool story, he was able to go in there with a knife. Who on earth would be able to go in to have a meeting with the president privately with a weapon? Let alone a dagger that's this big. It's speculation. Most people speculate because the Bible makes it very clear that he was a lefty with a sword on his right. You know, over and over we're looking at this. They speculate that the guards just kind of got into the lazy habit of checking people's left legs. An assassin's going to come in here, he's got to be a righty. Lefties aren't very awesome. So no lefty's going to come in here and threaten. So he was able to go right in there. Check him for any weapons. He's like, I can just picture him. But they check him and he just like walks right in. All right. It's go time. Just the way you are. Nah, well, I'm just a lefty. God wants to use you like that. You're lefty, you're special too, okay? Don't forget it. God wants to use you. Oh, well, I'm just a girl. Or, oh, well, I'm just a woman. Oh, well, I'm just a grandma. No more excuses. Don't let the enemy keep lying to you. God wants to use you. Oh, well, you don't know what I've done. You know, that single act from Ehud gave Israel 80 years of peace. Just a UPS guy showing up to deliver. 80 years of peace. Who'd have ever thought? I don't know what you do for a living. Maybe you are pretty awesome. I don't know. But maybe you're just a normal norm. And every superhero movie you see and every book that you remember reading as a kid, like, oh, that would be awesome. God wants to use you for great things. Please believe that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has called you to serve in his army. God has called you to be his voice, to be his ambassador. God has called you to be a light that shines in this world. God has called you to be a salt. God has called you to help, to serve, to bless. God has called you to be a hero in wherever you find yourself. Normal person doing something a little bit abnormal. What's the norm in our society right now? Me, myself, and I. It's not that hard to beat that, right? People are always blown away. I'm told I have an angry face. I'm a nice guy. I really am. But I'm told I have a hostile resting face. So if I'm at the store, it's like this. I guess it's, I don't know. My mom likes my face, but you know, but what it, because I hear that a lot, I always try to be nice and a little bit more open and outgoing. So I, at grocery stores, I make it a point. People in front of me or behind me are like, hey, hi, how's it going? How's your day going? They're kind of like, whoop, whoop. Human interaction? You're not on your phone? You're not texting me even though I'm right next to you? Like, no, actual conversation. Hi, I'm human. People are blown away by that. And they automatically know there's something different. This isn't just a scary, angry guy. He's nice. Why is he nice? Why does he care how my day is going? Is he reaching into my purse right now? When I first became a Christian, Christians are very huggy. I like that. I grew up in a Mexican home. Mexicans are very huggy and kissy. But when I first became a Christian, I started coming to church, and all these guys are hugging. And no joke, after like every oh, hey, what's up, you know, guy, because they didn't know me. Hey, what's up, guy, good to see you again. They would hug me, and I'd check for my wallet, like, is it still there? Okay. It was strange, but in a good way, you know, in a genuine way, in a real way, in a loving way. God has a calling for you. He wants to use you in whatever situation you are in. Why on earth would God ever use someone like you? Let's finish up right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him and you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Why would God use someone like you and me so that we don't get the glory, so that we don't boast in ourselves or our achievements? So that God would be glorified, so that people would say, man, God can use him? I know what kind of background he had. I know what he just did. Maybe like Peter, denied the Lord three times, but yet God still used him. And if God can use that person, then surely God has something for me to do here at church too. Amen. Let's have the band come on up. Let's pray, guys. Lord, we ask that the people we learned about this morning and the verses that we read wouldn't just be theories or concepts, but God, we ask they would be truth. And more than that, Lord, we ask you would give us the faith to walk in your truth, to believe you to do great things in our lives, to believe that you're not done with us. So long as we have breath in our lungs and we have a heart that's beating in our bodies, God, you want to use us. Whether we find ourselves at school, a hospital bed, a wheelchair, whatever it is, God, you are actively looking for men and women who are weak, who are small, who are a little confused, so that you would show yourself strong through us and for us. May we be those people starting today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.